Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping us tonight in big ways and in every way, Father God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to begin reading where we stopped off last week, Philippians 4, 6 through 9. I'm going to dive into those scriptures. And tonight we're going to center in on this topic or this practical instruction conveyance is the how-to of single-mindedness. The how-to of single-mindedness. So we'll begin with Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer with and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I've got in your handout, I've got the Passion Translation, because I really like some of the expressions that it gives to us. And it says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Amen. And that's what happens when you worry. You vacillate between different directions. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Isn't that good? All right, so last week we discussed Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and we talked about the joy of harmony. Everybody say the joy of harmony. And so I don't know if you can bring the chart over. So we talked about the joy of harmony as a church family. We are to actively engage in unity in three areas. And so we said, number one, salvation. So we actively engage in salvation. Bring it over a little closer. And number two, spirit. So we're to be in unity in spirit. And then number three, in service. Now, the opposite of being single-minded means you're not going to embrace this. Because this is kind of the internal code and commitment that each one of us make as members of the church and members of the body of Christ. We are to embrace this as our unity commission. Because remember, we're not working and doing and living Christianity alone. Somebody said isolation is the epitome of living in hell. And so we've said isolation and independence is a celebration of selfishness. And so when you think church is a team sport, it's a group effort, corporate cohesive effort that we're supposed to, right? But what if you don't play the game? Usually it's just something going on in your focus and in your mind that keep you from being in unity, in salvation, spirit, and in service. Why? Because we've said about the mind, where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. That's right. Your thoughts precede your actions. Amen. And we said the maintenance of your thought life is your responsibility. And one of the things that the main arena where the devil attacks us is in our mind. And what does he use? We've said before, his big MO, mode of operation, or modus operandi, some people call it in Latin. His mode of operation is to divide and conquer. Well, how does he do that with you? He gets in your mind and divides you with bringing thoughts, ideas, suggestions. In the context of this teaching, he brings fear to bear. And he puts pressure on your mind. And that pressure on your mind causes pressure against your belief system. And what we said, fear, when fear is manifested, faith is contaminated. Where fear starts, faith stops. Amen. And so you have to have faith, because faith gives access to the empowerment of grace. You won't, without faith, there's no grace. And without grace, there's no empowerment or divine enablement to do what truth demands of you. Truth is the word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth of the word through the teaching of the apostles is articulated in unity about these three areas: salvation by grace, spirituality by grace, and serving with grace. And so that brings harmony, the joy of harmony, to the body. Amen. And so the main thing he does is get in your mind. The average person thinks 30,000 thoughts a day. He tries to slip a few in there to get you to think on what he's thinking, what he's telling you. His lies, his deceptions, his discouraging thoughts. Amen. Depressing thoughts. Why? Because if he can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you. If he can divide your thought life, he can divide you from the will and purpose of God as a member of the church. And then you come through those doors in our worship service, not single-minded, but double-minded. And we know James says a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all his ways. And don't expect you receive anything, the Bible says in James 1:6, 1:6, 7, and 8. That man or woman can't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now that's critical, because every day we need to use faith, because we live by faith, and we need his grace. We need his grace to walk out and live out the benefits of salvation in Christ. Salvation, just an all-encompassing term, soteria, which means safety, protection, preservation, provision, prosperity, health, safety, and also your name's written down in heaven, the book of life. But temporarily, you have all these benefits of salvation that you and I should embrace, but they're only appropriated by faith, and they're provided by and made available by his grace. We cannot merit them or earn them. We have to believe and receive them. Somebody say glory to God. And so we need to be also spiritual and also operate in service. So now we segue into, so if you go back and listen to what we talked about last week, that sets up this, because now he's getting into the practicality of how to be single-minded. Amen. So he's talking about the how to abstain focused and single-minded. Most people drift in their thought life before they drift in their actual life. So Paul, taught by the Holy Spirit, teaches us the how-to of walking in the peace of Jesus. Why do we need that? Because it's his peace. He said it in John, my peace I give to you, John 14:27, not as the world gives, give I unto you. My peace I give to you. The peace of the Lord. The peace of God, or the peace of the Lord, is the most valuable commodity we can have as covenant Christian believers. God leads us with peace. We are to go forth in peace. We are to make decisions. We've said it before many times in this church. We are to make decisions with peace. Monitor on good. Good to go. You know, Sister Bailey was talking about the house burst. You know, checking that peace monitor is critical to your leading and your guidance and your direction. Your daily decision making. The devil pressures you to make decisions. And we've said, don't make decisions of the under pressure, because you're giving way or to the devil's stimulus. You're giving way to the devil's input. Amen. And one of the main ways he does it, of this first point, is he brings worry, anxiety, the cares of life. And so first, instead of worrying, he says we got to pray. Our load limit for worry and care is zero. Be anxious for how much?
Nothing.
Amen. The Passion Translation said, don't be pulled in different directions and worry about a thing. You know how you get frantic? Because the state of mind could be in one of five states. One, peace. I know this is not in your notes, but just. So that's when you're calm, you're restful, you have a sound mind. Your whole mind, you're single-minded. Number two, your mind could be in a state of pressure. You can almost look in somebody's eyes and see they're under pressure. Because there's stress, there's anxiety, there's fretting, there's worrying, and there's agitation. That's a pressured mind. A mind could be in a state of pain. That means you're discouraged, you're depressed, you're disturbed, you're vexed, you're aggravated. Your mind could be in a state of panic. That's where you're hysterical, confused, irrational, compulsive. And then your mind could be in a state of paranoia, where you're crazy, insane, or deranged. Four of those five states are not good. The state we should stay in is the state where there's peace in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Praise the Lord. Believers who take their anxieties to God in prayer discover the peace of God. When the problem is worry or anxiety, the prescription is prayer, number one, proper thinking, secondly, and proper responses. So you got to pray about everything. That's what he says. But in everything, by prayer. Amen. Now let's. Somebody said once, Brother Hagin conveyed it. He said, somebody said, well, just pray for me, brother. He said, well, prayer is prayer. And sports is sports, but they don't always pay by the same rules. In other words, you can't pray the prayer of faith when you're worrying. It won't work. Remember, because worry and anxiety reduces your faith to what? Zero. And so, pray for me. Pray about this. Let's pray about. You're worried. You got to deal with the care first. You got to deal with the worry. You got to get that out. You're not allowed to carry it because it's spiritual contraband. Jesus said in Matthew. In one word, I know Sister Bailey read it during the offering, worry is a sin. Because if Jesus said, don't worry, and if you worry, it's not holiness, it's not piety, it's not religious progress. I'm just carrying my load. No, you're sinning. And much like Brother Hagin said, I'd rather have a church full of dope pushers than doubt pushers. Because when you worry, you doubt God can take care of it. So you're taking care of it in between your ears. So you have to have prayer, proper thinking, and proper responses. The opposite of peace is worry. So when you have peace, there's the absence of worry. There's, when peace leaves, usually those other things come in. The Greek word for anxious is to have a mind divided. So just like the passage translation tells us, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about things. It's like your mind is getting split. It's, remember, we're talking about single-minded. And when worry and anxiety comes in, your mind splits. You divide your focus and you destroy your faith. I'll say that again. You divide your focus and you destroy your faith because you swing from legitimate thoughts, things that are authorized by God, Philippians 4:8. We just read it. Whatever things are just, noble, pure, lovely, true, good report, so forth and so on. Legitimate thoughts to destructive thoughts. Destructive thoughts come from accepting the lies and deceptions of the enemy. Destructive thoughts will choke out the word of God and cause an believer to abandon trust. That's why we say you're a doubt peddler. You don't trust God anymore. You think, I've got to take care of it. I've got to take the care of it. I've got to worry about it. Your load limit is what? Zero. Cast all your cares. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'll make a couple of bold statements. The reason faith doesn't work for healing or faith doesn't work for finances is because worry is there. Anxiety is there a lot of times. Amen. Now, your faith's supposed to work all the time. You walk by faith, you live by faith, right? The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So with praying in faith, praying the prayer of faith, your faith has to be functional. It can't be dysfunctional. Amen. And so what happens is those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions from the enemy come in without being checked or guarded by the peace of God. And so you allow worry, stress, anxiety, amen, fretfulness start to come in, and then your mind's all messed up, and then you're trying to pray, and you're almost basically trying to throw a Hail Mary, football term, meaning throw a long pass to hopefully get a touchdown, hopefully get a connection. You're trying to connect with God when you're still carrying the care, which he told you don't carry. You got to repent of that sin of worry. Amen. You know, it always intrigues me when people go through things financially, family, or health-wise, they've got to get out of their assignment because of all the anxiety associated with their affliction. And you find that they can't come to church. They can't do this. They can't give. They can't because I can't do my assignment because I'm dealing with this anxiety that comes from my affliction. Affliction is the word, one of the Greek words, that means to put pressure on your belief system. It's fear manifested in natural circumstances. And the devil amplifies it through our minds by telling us, what are you going to do now? Everybody say, my faith is supposed to work. Your faith is supposed to be functional, not dysfunctional. Now, here's another thing. We're all familiar with Psalms 91. And Psalms 91 talks about being under the shadow of the... Because your peace opens the door for protection. Because what did he say in verse 7? And the peace of God will do what? Will guard your heart and mind. That's your protection provision. Peace sets up protection for your most vital parts of you. Your heart, your spirit, And your soul, your mind is in that soul realm. You can't guard your heart and mind and experience the protection, because you don't necessarily need protection from a gunshot. Yes, we do occasionally, maybe if we're driving in an area where people are shooting or where some bad people are, that are intending evil come upon you. Yeah, you need protection, but that's rare where people run into those situations. You need protection from the evil one and his works that he tries to put in your life. Now let's track Psalm 91 for a minute. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall what? Deliver me from the snare of what? The fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. And under his wings will I trust. And you shall not be what? Afraid of the arrows and the terror. One of the Hebrew words for arrows, one of the derivative words, is the word something to split up something. It also means this in a deeper Hebrew word that comes from the word diagnosis. So when do most people get mostly anxious and fretful and fearful? When the doctor's sitting there looking at you and saying, you got this. And that arrow comes right there. Whew. But instead of refusing the fear and resisting the fear of worry, that arrow shoots right through, because there's no guard up. Because when you get the note to come in and see me, or something's been going on in my body, so you don't prepare your heart and mind with peace, your mind's already broken up. And so all the devil does is use that segue to say, here's an arrow, here's that diagnosis, it's going to penetrate and it's going to rock your world. Amen. You get a diagnosis word, you get a death sentence word, you get whatever word. And what did the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 6:16? He said, above all, taking the what? Shield of faith, wherewith we may be able to quench all, how much? All the fiery, there's those arrows again. The fiery darts of them. Where's he firing them at? Between your ears. And if your heart and mind's not guarded, they're coming in. See, with your faith up, that guard's up, that peace is up, guard's up. Nothing won't stick and nothing won't burn. But if your guard is not up, that stuff's going to stick and it's going to burn you. You're going to get burnt. You're going to be up all night worrying. You're going to be all night fretting and be like Job, that which I feared has come upon me. Is this helping somebody tonight? So destructive thoughts will choke out the word of God and cause the believer to abandon trust. So you got to understand, I've got to pray the prayer of commitment, sister, brother. Prayer commitment is one of the types of prayers, one of the nine different types of prayers or categories of prayers that we need to always be practicing. And he's telling us this is what we got to do to stay single-minded. We got to cast that care on the Lord. I think just Blake was exhorting us about first, and Pastor Cynthia came along and talked about it as well. And how do people take the Lord out of first place? Real simple. Their mind gets divided. Now, we talked about last week when Paul told Yoda and Sinitsky, I may not be pronouncing her name right, he said, stop disagreeing and be of the same mind. How many times he said that in chapter 3 and chapter 4? Be of the same mind. We don't have to get a get the Holy Spirit to blow a bullhorn to let us know you got to have your mind right. If you don't think right, you won't believe right, and you won't talk right, and things don't go right.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, keep your mind occupied with good things. Now, we'll talk about that in just a second as we go to the next page, because that's so important, because the idle mind is not good. The Greek word to meditate means to ponder, consider, value, and give proper weight to. Right thinking will win the battle against worry. Right thinking will win the battle against worry. Number three, third, these are the practical steps he's given us of how to put into practice what you've seen in God's word. That means we have a responsibility. You've got the handout, and we try to do due diligence to make sure you've got the tools and the teaching and the truth of Scripture to go back and apply this and stop being a doubt peddler.
Amen.
Where you abandon trust in God, you don't think God can handle it, so you always run around saying, pray for me. About what? Well, you got stuff you got to pray for. And that's what family prayer, what we used to have on Wednesday night after the altar, is about. You get something in you and the Lord deals with you. You give it to the Lord. We used to say it in the old church, Sister Ola remembers this, take your burdens to the Lord and do what? Leave them there. Don't come back with them. Leave them there. His shoulders are big enough. His hands are big enough. Amen. He's God and God all by himself. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. And unlike ultimate success in life will come as we do the word. We are to be doers of the word and what? Not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So you can't say, well, I'm going to pray and confess for 3 hours a day. And you carrying worry and you doing nothing but sinning and speaking. You're sinning and speaking. Let me just put it real plain to you. That's not good. You got to get rid of the care. Glory to God. Now let's go to the back page. So here's some things that we need to note as we get ready to wind this up. This is so critical, friends. We always have to be reminded, hey, you worrying about anything? You got to cast that. Anything comes up about your family? Anything comes up about your finances? Anything comes up about your job? Anything comes up about what? The problems that may occur? About your health? Your faith has to be functional. And this reduces your faith to zero when you worry. The important thing, and even imperative, it's important and even imperative that we each stay and remain focused and single-minded about the things we are to stay unified and in harmony about. Those three things we just talked about. Amen. In no place does the Bible say we are to worry about anything. Worry is a sin. Worry is not spiritual. Worry is not, well, I'm carrying my burdens. I'm carrying my cross. No, that's the cross of responsibility. It's not the cross of worry and anxiety. Many seem to think that their worry somehow aids the plan of God. It doesn't help. It hinders. It splits up. And it splinters the plan of God. The plan and purpose of God is for you, everybody, to be healed. But if you worry about what the doctor said, and you worry about what the diagnosis is doing in your body, and you've claimed it as your own, you're basically carrying that care of it. Amen. Now, you have to make preparations when you have situations that happen, financially, family, physically. You make preparation, but you don't get overly anxious or concerned about it. You give it to the Lord. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. What are you supposed to do with it? Everybody say it again. Give it to the Lord. Number one, the prayer of faith won't work if you're anxious and worrying. Brother Hagin said when he was 17 years old, he got started early because he said he learned from his mother and his grandmother that to be world champion warriors. They were always fretting and fussing and anxious about a lot of stuff. And sometimes we can learn that stuff by association and observation. We see it in our parents or grandparents, and then we kind of feel like, hey, that's the way I should be too. Always running around with the burdens and cares of life weighing us down. That's not right. Amen. And then we want people to pray, and a lot of times they want the prayer of faith, which is a prayer to change something or get something. You can't get that to work if you're carrying cares and worries. Amen. And so he said he had to repent. And I got those three areas listed down there. Three areas to avoid or repent of if it's happening. One, if you're worrying, anxiety, and being overly concerned about your life, health, finances, or family, et cetera, et cetera. Secondly, if you're showing self-pity or you have a victimized attitude or outlook. You know, you might post something on social media. You might tell somebody on phone or text. And that tone of self-pity comes through. Look at what I'm going through. Look at all the drama that's happening in my life. And you're almost putting a spotlight on you. Pity poor old me. That's the devil. That's demonic. Amen. That was what Peter said to Jesus when he was had his face focused toward the cross and said, I'm the Christ, Son of the living God. I'm going to be crucified in the hand of sinners. He's telling him the plan of God for his life. And Peter pulled him aside and said, pity yourself, Lord. And that's what he does to you and I. Mm-hmm. Pity yourself. Yep. You ain't got no money. See, it was easy for when Baylor was talking about they had to give him the $10. The Lord spoke to him, but the devil's right there saying, you pity yourself. What are you going to do now? You're broke. You're going to be homeless. That's demonic. We should not let that happen to each other as friends of this church family. We ought to do a love tap. You know what a love tap is? Slap us back, slap some sense back into us. Amen. Get permission. Slap some sense back because if I got that whiny tone, if I got that victim V showing through my eyeballs or my eyeglasses, then it's not victory. It's victim. Look how much I'm suffering. Look how much I have to deal with. Look how much drama I have to carry at work. Look at the load I'm having to deal with. Yeah. That's the devil running all the way through your throat. Amen. I know. Number three, be discouraged. Never in the Bible you see the word be discouraged. I don't care how bad it gets. Because without courage, you can't do the plan of God. You can't stay focused on the plan of God because you don't have the courage to continue to focus on Christ and follow Christ. Amen. So he said he had to repent of those three things. And then he had to refuse to get anxious and worry when the thought comes. You have to refuse it. You might be laying in the bed, sister. That thought comes, that child or that grandchild of yours is never going to turn around, never going to get their act together. And you sit there and ponder it. And you sit there and listen to the lies of the devil. You got to refuse that. Because your faith is working on what? Your faith is working on their salvation. Your faith has to work to believe, to see them come to the altar of the Lord and give their life to Jesus. But your faith ain't going to work if you're worried about your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. Amen. If you're all caught up and worried and feeling sorry because your kids are not serving God, then that's your problem you got to repent of. That's sin. Amen. Hallelujah. And then you have to resist the devil when he attacks and assaults your mind. You got to resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. You resist fear with faith and love. Perfect love casts out all fear. It flushes out. Love is personified, as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That means I'm not going to carry this care. I'm going to cast the care. Hallelujah. Note two, the prayer commitment must be used often before a prayer petition is offered up in the Lord. Sister Bailey read it tonight in opening, and we have it as our themed text tonight. He didn't say just don't be anxious, but he said pray about it, the type of prayer that needs, and then ask God what you need. It's first, deal with the care. Second, pray about what you need, because your faith is back on. And then give thanks. So we said in the worry circle, everything, nothing should be in there. If it gets in there, you got to give it to God. The prayer circle, everything should be in there. You pray about everything. Either you're casting your cares on the Lord, or you're asking the Lord to change something or do something, get something to you. That's a prayer petition or prayer faith. Amen. Mark 11, 23, 24. And of course, John 16, 23, 24. The reference to prayer of faith. James 1, 5 said the prayer of faith. When you ask for wisdom, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering or doubting or worrying and vacillating. You don't go to God and say, well, I wonder if he's heard me. I wonder if he's going to take care of it. No, you're not in faith. You're in doubt. Hallelujah. So the prayer commitment, we have it written there. Casting your cares on the Lord, rolling your cares, the burdens, weight of the worry, the problem on the Lord. Look at the scripture there. We're almost done. Psalms 55, 22, cast your burdens on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. And if you weight it down with burden and care, then that you got to roll it on him. He will never allow the consistent rights to be made to slip, fall, or fail. Isn't that good? Amen. Now he says here in the Passion Translation, so here's what I've learned through it all. Leave your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast in the whole of your care, all of your anxieties. How much? All of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on him. Financial concerns, family concerns, health concerns, career, job concerns, everything on the Lord. Because your load limit to carry worry and care is what? Zero. None. For he cares for you affectionately and about you watchfully. Passion Translation said, pour all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there. For he's always tenderly cares for you. He always tenderly cares for you. Isn't that good? Then you can use a prayer of faith, which is to change things or to get things. Got the scriptures referenced there. Now, how do you do casting your cares? Now, write this down if you're taking notes. Number three points, three action items. Number one, casting your cares is first a deliberate act. You know the care or worries there. You have to deliberately act. Can't let it linger. Can't let it loiter. Can't leave it in your mind. I like how Dr. Carolyn, you said thoughts take up mental real estate on your brain. Toxic thoughts, destructive thoughts will give you temporary brain damage. And instead of wiring, you're wired for love, you're wired for faith as a wonderfully, fearfully created human being, spirit being. You're wired for these things. And so you have the capacity to stay single-minded. But if you allow these thoughts and images to stay and persist, then this rewiring occurs. It's not a wiring of faith and love. It's a wiring of fear and doubt. Amen. And so you got to get those thoughts out. They're loaded. You got to have thought identification going. Is this of God? Because if I'm thinking about failure, if I'm thinking about disease, diagnosis, defeat, I'm thinking about all the debt, all the bills, all the burdens of my family. If I'm thinking about that, I'm not thinking about Philippians 4:8. I'm not thinking legitimate thoughts. Hallelujah. So it's a deliberate act. The second point is it's deliberate speaking. How do you cast down a thought or cast your care up to the Lord? Or how do you capture a thought? By speaking it. Jesus said, you catch or convey a thought into you, take no thought, he said in Matthew 6, by saying. So birds may fly over your head, but you have to prevent them from building a nest in your hair. Thoughts may come, but thoughts unuttered die unborn. In other words, when I utter a thought, because thought precedes action, and the devil puts pressure on your thoughts to get you to say something. You know, you might be in a family dispute or a little strife going on, perhaps, and you want to say something to that child. You want to say something to that daughter, that granddaughter, that grandchild, that great-grandchild. You want to say something to that spouse. And it's destructive thoughts working in you. Mm-hmm. What he's trying to do, get you to take the thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The thing ain't gonna never turn around. This thing will never get better. They ain't gonna never act right. And you open your mouth and you sign the package.
Amen.
Anybody ever been there before? You got both hands up. we're all familiar with that, right? Amen. And then the net third one is deliberate follow through. So everybody say deliberate act.
Deliberate act.
Deliberate speaking.
Deliberate
follow through. That means you got to stay focused and make sure that that piece is working and that you resist and refuse to. And you have to pass up those marvelous opportunities to say something and take that thought.
Amen.
And worry about it.
Amen.
Because you're not moved by what you see. You're not supposed to be if you're in faith. You're not moved by what you feel, because you might hear them say something that makes your skin crawl and you getting all upset or irritated about something they said or something you seen, and then you want to wag your tongue at it.
Amen.
Devil's just setting you up to reduce your faith to zero. Oh, this is good stuff. Hallelujah. And so you got to follow through on it. Brother Hagin said when he was dealing with some serious situations, you know, two payments behind on his car, the bill was due tomorrow, they were going to come. He said, devil's there, tell him, what are they going to do now? They're going to repossess your car. They're going to take your car away, and you're going to be on foot. What you going to do? Well, he had to give it to the Lord. And he said in that case, he had to give it to the Lord several times, because he'd give it to the Lord, and then he wasn't watchful about what was coming, and then it came back to him. Then he had to give it to the Lord. You have to deliberately act by casting your cares, not carrying your cares.
Amen.
You can't let them stay there seconds and minutes, because they will begin to build up a stronghold in your mind. All right, note 3. When we're under pressure, our minds wants to worry. When we're bored, our mind wants to wander. You see this a lot today because people are pressured or they're bored. Boredom, complacency is it feeds doubt, fear, and unbelief. Bitterness is an enemy and a hindrance to your spiritual life and growth. Boredom is an enemy to the Christian life, and we need to know what to do during this time. He told you to think on these things. If you're bored, you're not thinking on those things. Philippians 4:8. You're not thinking on those things because your mind is caught up and consumed with trivial stuff. And again, that takes you out of single-mindedness. That's why Christians can play a game for several hours. Because the devil says, you're bored. Go do this game. You're bored. Go watch this show. And you let your guard down, and you're not, the peace of God is no longer protecting your mind and heart, and then he's feeding you fear.
Amen.
Television tells you how to vision. When you get to a point to where it's beginning to come a part of you, your thought life, and what you see and what you feel, then you need to, I need to turn that. I need to get that off.
Amen.
Some people can't stay off their phone because they're always distracted or deceived to say there's something more important here than this, than the Word of God. Hallelujah. When you're bored, your mind wants to wander. And you say, why are you playing that game so long? Well, I don't have nothing to do. You always got something to do. You got to take care of your mind. You got to fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. You got to renew your mind with the Word of God. There's always something to pray about, something to petition God about, something to walk in the Spirit and take care of spiritually about. I'm not saying you can't watch a movie or a show, but you got to maintain your mind to stay single-minded. Somebody say glory to God. I'm trying to get this across to you. I hope I'm helping you all. So reflecting on the things of the Lord is important to necessary for stability and continued success. Amen. So the peace of God will replace worry once our cares are cast on the Lord. The peace comes upon us when we realize we don't have to figure out how the results will come. That's not your problem. That's God's problem. He's taking care of it. That our outcome is in the hands of the Lord. Instead of worrying, we need to pray over each situation. Pray about everything. And then lastly, he says in verse 9, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now notice it in all this context, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, he's talking about peace. How important is peace to stay single-minded? Now he said, what will he do? What will the God of peace do? Well, the scripture references, write these scriptures right now. We're not going to turn there because of time. We're out of time. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, if you're attacked and assaulted in your mind and in your life experience through a satanic attack, God will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. Secondly, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. And your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. You want to be preserved? You want to be protected? Let the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Somebody say glory to God. And then Hebrews 13:20. The God of peace shall be with you to do what? The God of peace will strengthen you, establish you, and settle you. That means you're not wavering back and forth. You're not split up and say, well, I'm going this way. Oh, I'm going to do this. And one day you're on, the next day you're off. One day your mind is going this way, or your focus is this way and on the Lord, and the other day your focus is all over the board. The Bible says he will make you, the Amplified says he will make you what you ought to be. And that peace, he calls it the all necessary good, freedom from fears, moral conflicts, and agitating passions. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. You get free of all this stuff that agitates and irritates you and conflicts you. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Everybody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Peace is the most valuable asset in the journey of life. The truth is, your destiny is in pieces when peace is lacking, because you can't go nowhere. You can't get anything from heaven because you have no faith working that's functioning.